We're going to get right to our topic here, invigorating your awards program. We have Heather Beck, APR, who is our chair-elect, and she comes from the volunteer chapter. I'm going to stop sharing so that she can start sharing and tell us what great things the volunteer chapter has done in approaching its awards program and developing new energy around it. Heather.
Right. Thank you guys for being on the call today. All right, can everybody see it?
Yes.
Okay, so I am going to go through some changes that the volunteer chapter did in 2018 with our awards program, which was called the V Awards, V for Volunteer. In 2017 and previous years, back about a decade, we had had a very similar awards program year to year that had been really great when it first started. And just over time, the membership had changed and what they wanted evolved and changed. And we didn't quite keep up with that the way we needed to. So previously the event was a semi-formal evening event with a sit-down dinner that was kind of swanky. We had an MC, but we never had a speaker or a program really besides the awards. So if you didn't submit for a PRSA award or you weren't being honored, you didn't have a reason to come. The other thing that we did that started out as this really great idea as a way to get new members involved kind of right off the bat was we had this event planned by members of the chapter. And the idea originally was that they would come in with all this passion and enthusiasm and bring that to this event. But what really happened in practice was that they got overwhelmed really quickly and burned out. And so that was something we learned from. And then the event was intended to be a major fundraiser because we could make money off of ticket sales and off award submissions. But it never totally worked out that way in practice. The volunteer chapter has about 100 members. So for us to really make a lot of money off just 100 people, the ticket prices would have to be astronomical and it just wasn't worth that for dinner. So in 2018, we looked at making some bigger wholesale changes to the V Awards. We went from having an awards only program to having a half day professional development conference where we had multiple speakers. It was a see and be seen kind of event where we had a buffet lunch and everybody mingled. So the idea of it was that it was awards plus. And if, even if you didn't submit an award or if you weren't being honored or whatever, you still had a reason to come and be involved and we could expand our reach that way. We had a committee that worked on this, but the lead of that committee was our immediate past president, which this year in 2018 was me. So I was the crazy person who kind of stepped up and did it the first time. And the idea of that was that by the time you're the past president of the chapter, you have connections and you know who to ask for help and you have enough kind of room that you can delegate things. And it did turn out to be a successful fundraiser for us in the end. So I'm going to kind of walk you guys through major tactics to kind of go through, and then we'll get into details and wrap things up with questions if you guys have those. So in 2018, that was our chapter's 45th anniversary. And that gave us a lot of room to try things that were new without alarming anybody, because change can be kind of scary. And when you're looking at a big event change, which we were moving from an evening only awards only event to a half day conference, that's a big change. And the 45th anniversary gave us a lot of room to maneuver. So that's kind of my broad tip number one, is if you're looking at a wholesale change for anything in your chapter, but in this case, an award ceremony, find an excuse or a fallback or both. So one of the things we wanted to make sure did not happen was if we tried something big in 2018 and it didn't work, which was a distinct possibility, was that it would bomb, that didn't create a blowback for the next board, the next year's board, and that they didn't have to deal with any potential problems from that. And the 45th anniversary gave us a really great excuse to say, you know, let's go big or go home. Let's try something new. And if it failed, we could always say, oh, it was just for the anniversary. So if it didn't work out, that's okay. And my major tip number two is promote the wazoo-dy out of it. I think in PR, at least I do this. I did this as a board member for the volunteer chapter. I think that sometimes we get the cobbler's children syndrome, where we forget to promote our own things. We don't treat ourselves as an organization, a volunteer organization, the same way we would treat clients or the companies that we work for. So early in the year of 2018, I created an editorial calendar, and I had messaging for our newsletter and our website and our social media channels, all in an Excel spreadsheet from about the end of March to early autumn, right before this event. And I had out, you know, the days that this needed to post and whether the post was going to be promoted or not and what hashtag to use and what the message should say in advance. It's kind of crazy. It is a little bit, a lot of time on the front end, but then we delegate it to our website and digital media chairs for the chapter, and they were able to take care of it. And then I could focus on other things with the event because we had so many changes that year. Major tip: listen to what people are telling you and then kind of dive in. So for several years with the V Awards, we that they weren't happy with that. They weren't happy with when the event was scheduled. They weren't happy with how it was structured, where it was held, how the awards themselves were actually set up, how the judging was actually set up. And the more we listened to meet people, the more it became clear that we were going to have to do a wholesale change. And that was just a big bite that nobody was really willing to take for a while. So when we, in 2018, when we decided, okay, it really is time to change it up, it had reached the point where we had to change literally everything about the event. So in 2018, what we ended up doing was we moved the event from May, which is when it had always been held, but people told us that there were too many scheduling conflicts with graduations and weddings, and that's just like a big event time in Knoxville, here where our chapter is. We moved it to October. We changed the event from an evening awards ceremony to a half-day conference. We ended up rewriting the award structure to reflect how we build campaigns and products here, how our members act and perform. And then we ended up changing our judging structure so that the reciprocal judges that we use were using a fairer, more objective system. And the way we were judging wasn't kind of up and down year over year. So to kind of give you you guys an idea of what our budget, what our event looked like in 2017 versus 2018, in 2017, the event was just the evening. It had a budget of about $5,000, and the expenses and revenues were both about $4,000. We made money that year. It was usually a break-even event. It was not the fundraiser it was supposed to be. So in 2017, we made $47 almost. In 2018, we upped the budget pretty significantly to just over $9,000. And that was a big move for us, for our chapter. That was a big investment in something that I think if it hadn't been our anniversary and if we hadn't had that kind of impetus to really make it a big deal, we wouldn't have done. The actual expenses ended up being just over $8,000, and the revenues were almost $12,000. So we ended up making $3,600 in 2018 from that conference event, which obviously the awards were a part of. So for us, that budget broke down into setting realistic expectations for our budget. So we knew with 100 members, we could never make a whole lot of money off of those members out of just ticket sales and award submissions. So we knew that for us, we were going to have to expand our audience for not only for the awards, but for the event itself to get any kind of traction. So what we ended up doing in 2018 was working with our AMA chapter, the Marketing Association chapter here in Knoxville, and we agreed to cross-promote events. So they promoted some of our events, including the conference, and we promoted some of their events. So we ended up getting a lot of people to show up at the event that weren't PRSA members, and that helped us out a lot. So now we'll kind of get into the nitty-gritty of it, planning the event and whether or not you're doing something big like changing your awards into a conference, or whether you're just looking for an awards kind of revamp. The venue is important and people care about that. And in 2018, we went with a brand new venue that was a little bit out of town. It was in Lenoir City, so about 40 minutes outside of like downtown Knoxville, which was shocking to some people. But what we did with venues was we called everybody in town. I delegated that out to the committee, and we called and got not just quotes, but we also, you know, make sure that when you're looking at venues, you're looking at all the technical aspects of venue selection. So is there catering on staff, on site? Do you have to work with certain caterers, or do they have a kitchen? If there are problems that day, do they have people on staff who can help you? Is there free parking? Is there AV equipment? That kind of thing. And for us, we had a really clear winner in venue, but knowing what you're looking for is helpful in kind of narrowing that down right off the bat into something that takes a lot of the pressure off of you as an event planner and delegates that to somebody who does this every day as a job. Finding speakers is the other big thing that we really spent a lot of time on for this. When we were planning this event in the early stages of 2018, we approached a potential sponsor who told us that they were not interested in sponsoring a conference because they could hear better speakers on YouTube for free. And they didn't mean that mean, and it's true for the most part. And so I really took that to heart and tried to find speakers who were really, really good and who did not typically speak at public events, and people that our members, our chapter members, would not normally hear to make the conference worth their while. Because they're right, you can just, you know, watch YouTube on your lunch and get just as much out of it. So I called in favors from everybody and asked other chapters for help, including the Tri-Cities, who sent us Dr. Cook here. And then I was a little bit insistent and potentially annoying with one of our speakers, an ad agency here in town called Tombras, that some of you might have heard of. And a couple years ago, they went viral with a client of theirs, Moon Pie, and they were one of our speakers after I wore them down. So our speakers were really, really good in 2018, and we tried to cover a lot of different fields. Knoxville's a big communications city, but people do all kinds of different things, from tourism to higher ed to healthcare. And so we tried to get everybody covered. Everybody had at least one speaker in their industry that might interest them. So kind of running down this list here, we had Tony D'Angelo, who was the PRSA national chair in 2018. David Grossman, Adam and Amber Ford run a lifestyle blog called The Happy Tutor. They're based here in Knoxville. Robert Berlin talked about videography and marketing. And then from Discovery and Tombras and AC Entertainment, we had kind of senior vice president type people that came in and talked about entertainment, television, and ads, which is not normally something that you might hear at a PR conference. Another thing that we did that was a major overhaul for us was updating our awards categories. So this was something that had kind of just fallen off the radar and hadn't been done for a couple of years, where our awards categories hadn't kept up with modern communications practices. So things like recognizing podcasts, for instance, as a communications venue or medium. And then for a long time, we had aligned our awards with the bronze and silver anvils and had kind of just used whatever it was that National was using. And in 2018, we decided to stop doing that. And we still have some of the same categories. But in 2018, we didn't have all the same. And part of that is because since, you know, chapter to regional, if you have them, to national PRSA awards don't always align. You can't always, you know, connect them. Then it just didn't seem necessary to us. And it allowed us more freedom to put together awards that were meaningful to our chapter members. And then finally, we selected a new judging platform and a new judging system. The judging system is a rubric that the Sunshine District created a couple years ago. And if you guys have never seen it, it is amazing. I'm sure that they would send you a copy. And if not, I have a copy. I'm happy to share it. But it breaks down judging into objective categories and point systems that are really, really helpful. And then the judging platform, I think, is probably the only thing that I would change if I had to do planning this event again. In 2018, PRSA National had recommended a judging platform that they had negotiated a kind of like a group rate with for chapters, and we used that. That platform, and it was okay, but the year after that, they kind of pulled a bait and switch and really raised the prices on us, and so we ended up dropping it and went with Dropbox, just a free Dropbox account. I'm pretty sure it's free, the one that we use. Somebody from Volunteer Chapter can correct me if that's wrong. But we have, you know, maybe 40 or 50 judging entries every year, and 8 or 12 judges every year, and that Dropbox works for us for that size. So if I had to do it over again, I think that's maybe the only thing that I would change. And that is it for presentation. If there's some questions that people have, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Thank you so much, Heather. Yes, questions from the group. I've got a number of them written down here, but I'll open it up to the floor here for folks who have some questions. All right, I'm going to kill the silence. What tweaks did you make from year one to year two, or did the committee make from year one to year two, given that you sort of were doing it for the first time in 2018? When you replicated it the following year, what did you adjust?
Yeah. Last year, they did have another half-day conference that was pretty well attended. They picked a different venue that was more central to town, so it was closer in for everybody, and I think that went over well. I rotated off the board, so I don't know the budget numbers, but I think that it was still a profitable event. This year, I think they're looking at some further changes to the event, but I don't know exactly what those are. But for at least a year, they kept the same structure.
You had mentioned that you recognized that you weren't keeping up with what members wanted. Was that anecdotal? Was it survey data? How did you get a sense that there was a need to do something different here?
That's a good question. It was both. So we do programming surveys every year typically, and that includes the V Awards, but it also includes all of our speaker programming. And we basically just ask people what they think about the venue, what they thought of the speakers, what they thought of the event. And then further, it was anecdotal. So when I was on the board, people would come up to me at events and say, can you stop having that in May? Can you do, you know, whatever?
Interesting. How much of your budget cash versus in-kind donations?
We had in-kind donations for, we had in-kind donations for printing, like print materials, but beyond that, we didn't really have a lot of in-kind donations. And then we did have one sponsor, and sponsors with awards ceremonies all just buying off the awards. So what we did instead was we hosted a cocktail party the night before and we had a sponsor for that. So the sponsorship was enough to help offset some of the expense of the awards.
Terrific, terrific. Other questions?
Heather, can you describe the program in itself, I mean, the conference, the mini conference? Like what you had at the beginning, when did you have the awards program? Where did that fall in at? And then did you end with the awards program or did you have some additional professional development sessions afterwards? I'm just looking for just a timeline type organization.
Sure. So ours was from about 9 to 1, as I recall. And we had a keynote in the morning, a welcome that was from Tony D'Angelo, and then a keynote with everybody. And then our other speakers were on tracks or like options, I guess. So it was breakout sessions. So we had two breakout sessions in the morning, and then we had lunch, and lunch was when we had the actual V Awards. And that worked out well for us because if somebody was being honored with an award, they could buy only a lunch ticket. They didn't have to buy a ticket for the whole day. So they could come just for lunch and then leave, and we still made money on the lunch. And then after lunch, we had one final keynote, and then everybody left for the day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions? All right. Well, thank you again, Heather. And certainly we'll get that those objective categories, that cheat sheet from Sunshine District, because I think that serves as a good guideline and potential opportunity for folks to improve their programming. So thank you, Heather. With our remaining time here, just want to go through a couple of things really quick. We've got some great events coming up throughout the district over the next few weeks. Memphis is having its Communicator of the Year Awards ceremony tomorrow night. The South Carolina, the Low Country section of that chapter has an event tomorrow, next week, topic of intersection of trust and technology in the North Carolina chapter. Tri-Cities is having its annual media panel at the end of the month. And the Georgia annual conference is coming up at the end of the month. Their two keynote speakers are Sean Greenwood, who describes himself as the Grand Poobah of PR at Ben & Jerry's, and Sally Williamson, president and founder of Sally Williamson Associates. That is coming up. The late deadline to register still in grasp if you have plans or thinking about it to be part of that great event. There is many of you may have received information about a assembly delegate webinar coming up in a couple of weeks. One of the things that Garland Stansel is really pushing for is earlier engagement with the assembly delegates to understand what their needs are, what their expectations are, what issues are most important to them. And so rather than push that engagement closer to ICON in the September-October timeframe. It's now going to be at least begin that engagement here soon. And so there is a webinar coming up in a couple of weeks. I will send out the link to this if you did not get it. And it may be early if you don't know who your delegates are, but this is a good time to be thinking about who's going to represent your particular chapter in Nashville for Leadership Assembly. But it's really starting at a big picture of where the industry is going, where the organization is going, what are the things, what are the trends and the influences and the factors that are going to influence everything. So that's the first engagement. And after this particular first webinar, there'll be some assessment of how many people attended, what are the things they're interested in, where did the conversation go, and assess what's going to happen with that engagement with the delegates going forward as we progress toward Leadership Assembly in October. I want to mention the Super Saver rate for ICON expires March 1st. There is a call for presentations that is still out there for March 15th. So if you have not registered to be in Nashville in October, you still have time to get take advantage of those great savings, at least through the next couple of weeks. You can never miss a best practice call. We have them posted on the newly redesigned prsasoutheast.org, our website, where you can see the slides that are presented. You can watch a YouTube replay that includes the audio as well as the visual elements, or you can listen to the audio-only replay there on the website. You can also download it as a podcast if you would like to listen to it on your commute wherever you are. That podcast is available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as Google Play on Android devices. In addition to the best practice calls, you can hear our interview with Garland Stansel talking about his career as well as his vision for the district. And last week, we've got a good conversation with Shanita Baraka Akintande about diversity inclusion and where the organization is on that and where things are going. So those are available to download. Share that information with your members. Next month, 4 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about diversity inclusion and how you as a chapter can focus not just within yourself and growing it as a chapter, but also how do you reach out into the community and promote that. Anna Marshall Wilson and Matt Ferragudo from the North Carolina chapter will be talking about a great project that chapter initiated to help spread D&I into the Raleigh community. I always want to keep these short so that we make the most of your time. I appreciate everybody being here this afternoon. I will send out a link to all those materials so you can share them with your fellow leadership of your chapters. And we look forward to having you around for the presentation next month. Have a great afternoon, everybody.